Hello and welcome to this walking tour of Glasgow City Centre Cinemas. My name's Annette Coon and I was the director of the original project, which was called Cinema Culture in 1930s Britain. This is part of a project on memory of cinema going in the 1930s, which was a larger project conducted in the 1990s involving people in Glasgow and three other places in Britain. We're going to start the tour at the Glasgow Film Theatre, which is in Rose Street in Glasgow City Centre, just off Socky Hall Street. You can begin your tour at the Calcadden subway station and exit from the station and take the city centre exit, walk through the underpass and turn right. And that leads you to Rose Street, and you turn left onto Rose Street, pass a church and a multicultural community centre on your right, cross Renfrew Street with care and see the GFT sign on your left, on a very elegant Art Deco building, which was purpose-built in the 1930s. It opened in May 1939, and it was the first purpose-built art house cinema outside London. It was called the Cosmo when it first opened, and a number of our interviewees referred to going to the Cosmo in those pre-war days, including one woman who you'll hear who went to the Cosmo on her wedding day in September 1939 and saw the Julien Duvivier film Incarné de Bal. The 1930s project in effect in a way began at the Glasgow Film Theatre, because in December of 1992 they hosted an event called Popular Cinema in the 1930s in the small auditorium, to which people were invited along. It was free of charge. It was announced in the local press. We screened a film and we had a discussion afterwards about people's cinema going in the 30s, and that discussion was recorded, and you'll be hearing extracts from that. And a number of the people who got in touch with me after that were later interviewed for the main project. In 1974, the cinema was purchased by the Scottish Film Council and renamed the Glasgow Film Theatre. And it's continued to this day with screenings of international films and cultural films, cultural cinema. It's now a Grade B listed building. It's a beautiful Art Deco building. There are three auditoria. The large one, I think, has one that has the best front row seats in the whole of Glasgow. And I have many happy memories myself of seeing films here, including when I first came to Glasgow. From the GFT, we're going to now walk down the hill and join Socky Hall Street, just a few yards along, and take a turn to the right on Socky Hall Street. And a short walk leads you to the site of the Regal Cinema on your right.
But the Cosmo, you had the beautiful sloping ceiling with a clock in the middle of it. When they sort of knocked it about, you see that the proportion got lost as it is now. Cinema too, the little beauty. But, I mean, I'd read about all those, the French film was the great thing when the Cosmo opened. And there were burgeoning in London at that time. There was a cinema, the Academy Cinema, which George Singleton, who opened the Cosmo, he really learned from. I think he got the same person to buy his films that bought films for the Academy. And things you just read about, suddenly they were available in Glasgow for the first time. I mean, the opening film was a Julien Duvivier film, Incarné de Bal, which was an absolute, a new world opened, when we were seeing that sort of thing. The great stars of French stars of that time, like Jean Gabin. And you even got music for your pleasure particularly, a recording of music, an interlude. I mean, they're absolutely, the programmes were worked out to a T, works of art in themselves.
I was at the opening of the Cosmo, it's the GFT now. The owner of the Cosmo, one of his sons, was our best man, Jimmy Singleton. And when I got married, and Jimmy was my husband's best man, we got married very quickly because the war started. We were engaged, but hadn't intended to get married, but since the war had started, we thought he'll get taken away before we get married. So the war was declared on the 3rd of September, and we got married on the 23rd. And we had just a very quiet wedding with families. And from there, we went to the Cosmo, and we saw Carney Duval for the adults to go to that after the service. After we had a meal, we got married about lunchtime, had lunch, and then they took all the company to the cinema, to the Cosmo, and saw Carney Duval, including the minister. And it was one of these cinema, I don't know if you know, one of these films where they were all going in and out each other's bedrooms. My mum saying to the minister, I don't think you knew that this sort of thing went on, did you? So after that, the older folk all just went away and the young ones went to the Plaza Ballroom. But it was a lovely cinema. I do used to enjoy going and seeing something different. It was very nice. It wasn't too big. It was a moderate sized cinema and just a balcony, one not very big balcony, and not very, I don't know what it's like now, but it was very well, very nice, very pleasant place to go to. It was more like the size of the cinemas you get nowadays. When we went to the cinema, they were massive affairs, huge they were. Hundreds and hundreds went, because people went so much more then. I mean, we used to, at least twice a week, you just took it as granted. And Friday nights and Saturday nights were the queue nights. I don't know, I think they are nowadays still, I don't know, but I sometimes hear my granddaughter saying a queue at the cinemas. But we always used to be quite happy to queue on a Friday or a Saturday. If you didn't, you either went dancing on a Friday or a Saturday, or to the cinema. I mean, to stay at home at the weekend, you were dropped. You were in a bad, bad way if you stayed at home at the weekend.
Paul Olivier. Bonsoir, mesdames. Bonsoir, messieurs. Bonsoir, Paula.
Bonsoir, Albert.
Alors, entendu. Rendez-vous ici la semaine prochaine.
C'est entendu. À bientôt.
À bientôt. À bientôt. À bientôt.
Well, here we are at the Regal Cinema at 326 Socky Hall Street. The Regal opened in 1929 and it was one of the earlier super cinemas. Before that, it had been an entertainment venue on the site since 1875, and that earlier venue included an ice skating palace, as it was called. And this is something that's not unusual for early cinema. Anyway, after various alterations and name changes, it closed as a cinema in 1998. Reopened again in 2002 as the O2, a mixed-use entertainment venue. And then in 2018, it was very badly damaged by the fire that hit the Glasgow School of Art that is just behind it. And it's now just boarded up. One of the interviewees, Sheila McWinney, was an usherette and she worked in a number of Glasgow cinemas, and one of them was the Regal. She'll be talking about her time at the Regal in an extract you'll hear, and the other voice on the extract is Valentina Bold, who was the research associate on the project and conducted all of the interviews. After the Regal, turn around and cross the road and walk back towards Rose Street. But continue on to the pedestrianised area of Socky Hall Street. And after a few minutes, you'll see a Waterstones bookshop on your right.
So, I mean, did you watch the films a lot when you were racking?
Not really. You were up and down, you know, especially in the Regal, like they were coming in from 1:30 in the day till 11 at night. You were sitting in a funny wee seat. Say that was the passage going into the right. All the seats. You had a wee tiny seat and it was a wee, like a wee stool, but when you got up, it went up against the wall. So you were up and down in that wee seat. Just, you know, as soon as somebody came in, just at the door, you had to get the torch and take them down to, and fill up that side and then that side and then, you know, so that was really, that was a degrading job.
So, I mean, they were coming in and out, right?
All day until, as I say, about 9:30 at night when the cash box shut. That's when you get away if it was your early night.
I mean, I was wanting to ask you as well about the other workers in the cinemas. I mean, you mentioned there were men at the door. I mean, did they have organists or anything in the cinemas?
In the Regal, they had the organist. Oh, God, I used to remember their name. One was Gerald Shaw, I think his name. The organist in the Regal and then the organist in the picture house, and it was quite good. You know, they were down below and they came up, and it was quite good. And they only came in, of course, played the organ, and when that session was done, away out and back for the next session, so you never really got to know them very well, you know.
Right. I mean, were they the sort of people that were doing other work as well, or were they?
I don't think they did anything else. They got made enough for that to keep it going. Who was the other bloke in the picture? Of course, I used to know their names, but I'm getting a bit senile, I think. When I worked in the Regal and in the picture house, they had what they called trade shows in the 30s, I don't know if you ever heard. And if you were dead lucky if you got a trade show, you get paid double, so you went in somewhere at 10:30. And these cinemas in the town were what they called first run. So they get the film first, and they had it a week, and if it was good, they had it a fortnight. But however, fortnight was as far as they kept it, if it was really good. So the trade shows, they would put on a trade show in the morning. You took your turn at getting it because you get double money. And all the managers from other wee cinemas or the owners came, saw the picture and booked it. But that wasn't shown in the cinema that day. You would get it eventually, but it wasn't shown that day. So that was what was called trade shows. The one that I remember was Little Nelly Kelly with Judy Garland. I didn't see it, but I remember coming in that day and this lassie had been at the trade show. Oh, it was Little Nelly Kelly. She starts singing the song. Oh, it was So Little Nelly Kelly was a hit. It was a fortnight.
Yes, here we are at Waterstones Bookshop on Socky Hall Street. And that is on the site of La Scala at 157 Socky Hall Street. You can still see the beautiful columns at the side of the bookshop entrance and the lovely Edwardian windows above. It opened as a cinema in 1912, quite an early cinema, and it converted to three screens in the 1970s and closed in 1984. Like many of these cinemas in Glasgow, you didn't just see a film, you could have a whole sort of experience that could involve you being served tea at your seat with waitress service and so on, so you could have a really nice afternoon out at the cinema. It's a couple of yards further along from Waterstones, on the opposite side of the street, is the site of the Savoy Cinema.
The La Scala was on the, across the road, there was, in Socky Hall Street, there was the picture house, that's where, now at the Savoy Centre.
Yeah.
And facing it was the La Scala, and beyond was the Regal.
Right.
And round the corner was the new Savoy Cinema, and the playhouse across the road from it. These were all together.
Right.
And down the road, Past Odeon, there was Odeon, but that was the Paramount when it started. It started with a Bing Crosby film. We're Not Dressing. Yeah, that was the first film they showed.
I love you. Well, will you be mine?
And down from that was The Regent.
I mean, you were saying that you went there more when you were going with your friends as you got a bit older.
I never ever went to the ones in the town. Not until I worked.
Right.
Never ever went to the one. They were too dear. I mean, a shilling was a lot of money, as I say, when you could get three times for fourpence.
Yeah.
You know, fourpence, it was a lot. So I never ever found out what like these cinemas were till I finally worked in them.
You mentioned La Scala as well. What was that like inside?
Well, that was where you could have a cup of tea when you were watching the cinema.
Really?
Yeah. At the side, I mean, I suppose this was a screen here. Mm-hmm. Over there, that side, there was a complete tea room.
Sounds wonderful.
You sat at Dizzywood in a cafe. You sat at your table and you could watch the cinema and the film at the same time.
And did they actually bring things to you?
Oh, yeah, waitresses, waitress service.
Right then, sir, madam, what would you like?
Because originally, you see, the noise didn't matter. Cause, I mean, there was probably, I can't remember whether they got rid of that when the talkies came. And for silent films, of course, that didn't matter. Any clattering of dishes didn't matter.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
You can't get away from us, Prince. We're both in your blood. Please. And we'll never let you go.
I mean, how did you feel going into a cinema like that? Was it different from going into the local ones?
Or? Oh, yeah, very much so. As I say, they had their restaurants. They were big places, they had their restaurants. They ordered just as you're going and saying, I would like so-and-so. We get the waitress, take our order, and your tray would come down into your seat.
What if tea for two, ladies?
And as I told you, the last girl, half of that was, and not half of it, one side was the restaurant.
Yeah.
And the lamps so you could see what you were eating. And Trisha said, that would be wonderful, but it was a clatter. You couldn't enjoy the people clattering dishes and things, you know.
One scone and jam, one tea cake. Thank you, ladies.
Stop it, you're getting dappy.
That was a cinema that had a tea room in the cinema. You could go in, sit down at a restaurant, have your tea, and watch your pictures at the same time.
Stop it, you're getting nuts.
The restaurant was offset to the side of the cinema. If you're standing at the back of the cinema and looking at the screen, the restaurant was on the right-hand side, and the other people were sitting there with wee tiny lamps on the table, just lighting up the table, so they could see what they were eating. You could sit there and watch your pictures at the same time.
That'll be 1 and 6, then. Across the street is the Savoy Shopping Centre. This was the location of the Picture House Cinema, which opened in 1910. The cinema featured a decadent palm court foyer containing palm trees, a fountain with goldfish and caged birds. In the late 1920s, it was taken over by Gaumont and renamed the Gaumont in 1947. The Savoy Cinema was also situated on this block. However, the main entrance was located around the corner on Hope Street. From the Savoy, carry on along Sockyhill Street in the same direction and cross over Hope Street. And the next intersection is Renfield Street. Turn left onto Renfield Street and walk to the junction with Renfrew Street and see a newish looking building on the opposite corner called Walkabout. This is the site of Green's Playhouse, which was at 126 Renfield Street. On this corner and across to the next street is the site of Green's Playhouse. It was opened in 1927. It was thought to be the biggest cinema in the UK. In fact, it was the biggest cinema in the UK, and possibly also the biggest cinema in Europe. Above the cinema auditorium, there was a ballroom which held 3,000 people, and there were three cafes in the building as well. So it was a huge entertainment complex. It was closed as a cinema in 1973, and it reopened as a music venue called the Apollo, and that closed in 1985. The building was partly demolished in 1987, and it was razed by fire in early 1989. So on this site we have a cafe, the Walkabout, and above that, Cineworld complex. Towards the next cinema, which is the Regent, you just turn around and retrace your steps along Renfield Street. Carry on past the Sockyhall Street intersection. Keep going, cross Bath Street, and on your left you'll see a building which is labelled 76 Renfield Street. It's now a money shop, and this is on the site of the Regent Cinema.
You mentioned the Green's Playhouse. Was that quite a...
That was the largest cinema in Europe. That
was
that,
it?
That seated, what was it? Something in the region of 5,000 people. Oh, it was a hell of a place to go into. But it was one of these cinemas that there was two balconies in it. You know, that, I think it had been originally built as a theatre. Because if you sat at ground level and looked out where the balcony came down like that, it cut off the top half of the screen. If you're sitting in the back seat and looking at the screen, you could only see people's heads. You could only see them for the shoulder down when they're on the screen. You'd go down like this, you're way down in your seat, you know, to try and see who it was. So that's what made me think it was originally built as a theatre, you know, it was okay for the stage, but not for high up. And then when you went up into the gallery, into the balcony, that was a good view of the screen there. But then in the upper balcony, that was a way up in the gods. And again, when you're way up at the back there and looking at the screen, it was a huge screen and all, but it looked about this size, you know, when you're way at the back here.
Did you ever go to the Green's Playhouse? Because I believe I had a...
Green's Playhouse, I went to the movies there and I danced upstairs in the ballroom.
Because the Green's Playhouse had the golden divans and what did it not have. There were three sections in it. You can go into the stalls, you can go upstairs to the thing, and the golden divans were the place. If you were out with some fella and he had a few bob, you went to the golden divans, but if it was some ordinary bloke, you only went to the stalls, you know.
Right. So was that these double seats then?
Yeah, they were all the backs of them were all gold painted, you know. Oh. This is a fine romance.
And they had seats which they called the golden divan. Yes, that was the height of luxury. But we couldn't afford the golden divan. So
what were they like?
I don't know, just specially comfortable and readers, but you know, placed at just the right distance from the screen and, you know,
right,
overlooking the rest of the common herd there.
Like I say, it was the largest cinema in Europe at one time. I think it was about 5,000 that could get in. Although I don't think there were 5,000 in it.
No.
You know, it was too big to have queues outside it.
So, I mean, they had a ballroom in there as well?
They had a ballroom. The ballroom was above the cinema. Oh, there it's right underneath it, the ballroom. Yeah. It says afternoon and evening sessions. 7:30 to 11:15, 2 and 6, ladies. Ladies, 2 shillings. You, ladies get in for 6 months of essay. The dance hall was a good bit above the cinema. If I can remember right, I think it was a restaurant in the Greens Playhouse as well, but that was being a ground floor level. Into the cinema, the restaurant was ground level, up steps, into the stalls at the cinema, which was above the level of the restaurant. And right away at the top was the ballroom. I think there was a lift to take up to the ballroom. You needed one, you know, the steps you had to climb up. But a lot of famous dance bands played there. Joe Loss, Geraldo, a lot of famous names in those days. They all turned up at the Playhouse. It was very popular.
The Regent was opened in 1911, and at the time it was called the Cinema Picture House. It was refurbished in 1920 and 1937. It closed in the early 1980s, and it's now an office block with some shops beneath it. A number of our informants mention the Regent. One of them is a letter from a gentleman who grew up in Glasgow. And he says that he saw a film called Love on the Dole there, which is based on Walter Greenwood's book. And this was a film that was held up by the British Board of Film Censors as it was considered subversive. But it was eventually released, I think, once the war started. If you continue from the Regent a little further down Renfield Street and cross West Regent Street, on the corner immediately on your left, you'll see a white Art Deco building. This is the site of the Paramount Cinema. Yes, we are at the Paramount Cinema, which opened in 1934, and it was financed by the Paramount Studios, the US studios. The auditorium seated almost 3,000 people. There was a Compton organ which rose up from the understage area, and in 1939 it became part of the Odeon chain. It really is regarded as Glasgow's, or was regarded as Glasgow's, premier cinema. It showed films up until 1970. After much interior and exterior remodelling, the Odeon became a triple screen cinema, and in 1988 further alterations took place. It was turned into a 6-screen and later into a 9-screen cinema, and it was finally closed in 2006. The facade which you see today is protected as a Grade B listed building, but behind the surviving facade is now a business of some sort and some food shops. One of our interviewees, Helen Smeaton, had a lovely memory of spending an afternoon here at the Odeon Cinema when she was at her lunch hour. She worked in the city, met up with a friend who said, "Oh, Helen, there's a Fred and Ginger film on at the Odeon. Let's go and see it this afternoon." And she said, "Well, I'm supposed to go back to work." But to cut a long story short, she went to the cinema in the afternoon, and when she got home, her mother had actually discovered that she hadn't gone back to work because they'd rung her. But luckily, Mum laughed it off, so all was well.
I really liked the films. I thought, I'm trying to think, there was a Ginger Rogers one when I was just not long started working in the Odeon. That's the one in Renfrew Street, the great big one. And I had gone home for my lunch, and coming back for my lunch to go into the office, I worked in Burnsleigh Shipping Lines. I met this young fella I knew, and he was a student, and he said, "What are you doing, Helen?" I said, "I'm going back to the office." I said, "What are you?" He says, "I'm going to the pictures to see Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire," and I can't remember what it was, one of these singing and dancing, and I said, "Oh." He said, "Come on." And I said, "Oh, no, I can't. No, no, I couldn't. I've got to get back to the office." He said, "Oh, look who it is. It'll be great." And I thought, "Oh, right." So I went to it, and I really did enjoy it. I remember it was all singing and dancing and romance, and it was just my cup of tea. And when I went home, after having tea, my mum said, "Where were you this afternoon, Helen?" "Oh, ribbons." I said, "I was at work, Mummy." And she said, "Now, isn't that odd? Your office just phoned to ask what had happened to you." And that was my lesson in never telling lies. I had then to burst into tears and say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tell lies, but I couldn't resist when Ian asked me to go to the films. I couldn't resist it." And I think if any of my children did that, I'd throttle them. But my mum was very good. She said, "Well, I hope that's a lesson to you. Don't go to the cinema." But that's, in these days, the kind of, especially singing and dancing, I loved, and the music, the songs. Nowadays with music, you hardly ever get a tune. Of course, when I was young, we had message boys riding along with their baskets on the, were filled with shopping to deliver to somebody. And we would always say, it'll be a top favourite if you heard your message boy whistling the tune as he went along on his bicycle to deliver his messages. You knew that was going to be a top favourite. You've got no message boys nowadays to do these sort of things for you. And anyway, when I look at, I don't very often look at Top of the Pops unless my grandchildren are about. And I keep saying, "That's not music, that's a racket." Of course, they're highly indignant at Granny. They see how out of step I am.
We've visited seven cinemas in Glasgow city centre on this tour. Optionally, we can continue walking down Renfield Street, cross over West George Street and St Vincent Street, and a little further down on your right, there's a building fronted by two marble columns, and that's the site of Cranston's cinema. That was opened in 1915, and it became a news theatre in the 1950s, and in the 1960s it became part of the classic chain which specialised in X films. It's now a Tesco Express. From here, that's the end of the tour. From here you can walk back up to St Vincent Street, turn right and go over to Buchanan Street where you can do some shopping or take the subway, or alternatively just walk back to Soppy Hall Street to the beginning of the tour.
Everybody worked in the cinemas, you knew them. And sometimes your night off would say, "Come on, we'll go up to the Odeon and see Bobby." You hadn't seen the pictures for nothing. Aye, it was good.
Actually, someone was just telling me a bit about Cranston's yesterday, because it was quite a posh cinema, wasn't it?
Yes, aye. That was one of the city cinemas.
Yep.
There's Cranston's there. Renfrew Street.
What was that one like inside Cranston?
Nothing fancy, you know. It was nice, but I wouldn't say it was an ultra fancy cinema. It was quite plain by city standards, but it served its purpose. It was upstairs, you know. There was no cinema on ground level. You had to go upstairs to go into it. I think it was shops or something that was down below. There's your end. New party. Arcadia's not there, I don't think. Mm-hmm. The cinemas that was in the city was always regarded as higher class than those that was in the districts. Mm. The first run of the films usually came to the city cinemas. The city cinemas, you had the Odeon and Renfield Street, you had the Regal and Sucky Hall Street, the La Scala and Sucky Hall Street, and the Government and Sucky Hall Street. And the Savoy just round the corner of Hope Street. Green's Playhouse was at the top of Renfield Street, and Cranston's was at the bottom of Renfield Street, and the Coliseum was over in Eglinton Street. These were regarded as the top-notch cinemas in the city. They got all the new pictures. And that's where we used to go on my night off.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed taking this tour. If you'd like to find out more and hear some more of our interviews, get to see some of the photographs and so on, memorabilia from our collection, just put CMDA Lancaster University into your search engine and you'll get to the website, which you can explore at your leisure.